All right, we'll say good morning. Just going to get started a minute early. I'll do the dedications and sponsorships so you can start the daf on time. I want to begin by thanking all of our sponsors. I thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, Steve and Terry, Zinn in memory of their parents, Tzvi Hirsch, Ben Yosef HaKohen, Yentl Mindel Bas David Halevi, Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim, and Devorah Bas Yisrael Yoel. To thank our week of learning sponsors, Zevin Isabel Greiner, in memory of Isabel's father, David Levine, David Ben Yitzchak Eli Halevi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah and the families a nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. So we are picking up. We have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Mem Vav 46. Sorry, give me 1 second. Okay, today's daf is Mem Vav 46. We are picking up on Mem Hey Amud Beis 45b, and we are picking up. I'm embarrassed to say, middle of the page, Mem Hey Amud Beis. If you see where Tosfos Liknu is, it's right across from there in the Gemara, about two lines up. So Tashra, so let's remember again, just to orient ourselves a bit, the Mishnah introduced us to the position of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri. And Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri said that Halacha Lamaisa, if you're traveling and you sit down on Erev Shabbos to go ahead and rest for a moment, and then you go ahead and you wake up and you realize that Shabbos has started, you have acquired a makom shvisa despite the fact that you have been asleep. So the ability to go ahead and acquire a makom shvisa, even though again you were asleep. The Gemara is not trying to discuss what is the logic. Where does Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri get that from? So the Gemara floated two possibilities. Possibility one was Rava, right? And well, actually, both are Rava. Rava is trying to. So possibility one is that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri holds Cheftei Hefker Konin Shvisa. Ownerless objects acquire a makom shvisa. So if an ownerless object could acquire a makom shvisa, then a sleeping individual has the ability to do so as well. Or a second possibility is that no, in general, Chefte Hefker are not Kon Shisa. But what's happening over here is since if the person was awake, he could have acquired a Makom Shisa. Therefore, Allah Chalamayis, we allow him to acquire Makom Shisa when he is sleeping as well. So we'll say, so this notion of whether or not ownerless objects have the ability to acquire a makom shvisa is going to be part of a much larger machlokes. So tashma, kisham shiardim erev yamtiv, yeishlan apayim amalecho ruach. If rain falls on erev yamtiv, so the rain itself, the rainwater, has a tchum. Wherever the rain is, it has 2,000, wherever it gathers, it has 2,000 amos in every direction. Biyamtiv, but if the rain falls on yamtiv itself, harihin karagle kol adam. Then ultimately, again, the rain falls on Yom Tov itself, it does not have a pre-established tchum. If it doesn't have a pre-established tchum, then halacha lemaisa, it acquires the tchum of whoever it is who acquires it and picks it up. So, I amrit b'shlama kasav Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, cheftzei hefker konin shvisa. So if you say that ownerless objects acquire makom shvisa, hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yochanan hi. So what says Rabbi Yochanan? But if you hold that Chafsei Hefker do not acquire their own Makom Shvisa, how many? Then whose opinion is this? Lo Rabbi Yochanan, but lo Rabbanon. It's neither Rabbi Yochanan nor is it Rabbanon. Yosef Abaye v'kamer lo l'hashmais. So Abaye was sitting and telling over this particular ruling. Amalei Rav Safra l'Abaye v'dilma, big shamim hasmuchin le'ir askinon. We'll say maybe the rain in question is rainwater, which is close to the city. Ba'anshi oseha'ir daiton alayu. And I will say, ultimately what? So because the rain is close to the city, the residents of the city normally go ahead and utilize this water. So because the residents of the city normally utilize this water, maybe halacha lemaisa, that's right, as the tchum of that particular city. I'll tell you why it's not like that. Because in general we say that if you have a bar, a water system that belongs to an individual, the water in there has the tchum of that individual. If it's a bar that belongs to the city, then it has the tchum of the residents of that city. So the Gemara says, what about a well of Olei Bavel? So remember again, the well of Olei Bavel, we spoke about this before. They made a series of wells so that people who were Ola Rego, people who are coming from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, or even from distant places in Eretz Yisrael, would have the ability to water their flock on the way. So what happens if you draw water from that on Shabbos? What's the tchum of that? Keragle hamemale. That becomes like the feet of the person who fills it up. In other words, the water from a public well, which is what the Ole Bavel is, takes on the tchum of the person who goes in and fills it up. The Tanya, we learned, Bar Shal Shvatim. We'll say Bar Shal Shvatim is the same thing as Bar Shal Ole Regalim, or Ole Bavel, excuse me. Yeshal Apayim Amal Chol Ruach. It has 2,000 amas in every direction. So Kashin HaDadi, so we'll say, which one is it? On one hand, you're saying, Bar Shal Shvatim, which I will say is a public water cistern made for the benefit of the Ole Rego. It has 2,000 amas from the place of the well. Then you just said before that the public wells have the tchum, the water drawn from there has the tchum of the person who draws it. So which one is it? Rather, you see, from this is the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan Menuri and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri holds that ownerless items, hefker, acquires a makom shvisa. And therefore, wherever the hefker item is at the onset of Shabbos, it has 2,000 amas in every direction from that place. The Rabbanon holds ownerless objects cannot acquire a makom shvisa. The acquisition of a makom shvisa, Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, is a function of das. If you don't have das, you can't acquire a makom shvisa. Therefore, the Rabbanon say that water in a public well doesn't acquire makom shvisa on its own, but rather it takes on the tchum of whoever draws the water. A fundamental yisodistic machlokes. Kiyasa, the Gemara says, fine. So, kiyasa lakonit Rav Yosef, when he came up for Rav Yosef, armalei hachi kam Rav Safra, Bahaki Ahajude, and he told over this exchange. This is what I told Rav Safra. This is what Rav Safra responded. Amarle amai va'amai lo temole megufa. So the Gemara says, why not go ahead and give him the answer from inside of the argument itself? In other words, why not give him the actual answer? Because why not say as follows? If you think we're talking about rainwater that's close to the city, hayeshon apayim amal chol ruach. Everybody would agree that halacha lemaisa, rainwater that is close to the city would have the tchum of the residents of the city, for generally they are the people who use that rainwater. Okay, so he's asking, could have just given a different answer to that exchange. So we'll say, so the Gemara goes right there. Amar, be Yom Tov Hari incorrectly kol adam. So remember again, if the rainwater falls on Yom Tov itself, then they are like ragle kol adam. So we'll say what that means is, everyone agrees that if the rainwater falls on Yom Tov itself, so therefore, again, it was not in this world. It didn't acquire Makom Shvisa prior to Yom Tov, and therefore, Halacha L'maaseh, it takes on the Makom Shvisa of the person who draws the water. So the Gemara says, but why is that? V'amai, likni Shvisa ba'okainos. Both say, let the water acquire its Makom Shvisa in the ocean. Right, again, so what happens? The water, right, the water evaporates, it goes into the clouds, and it rains. But the water ultimately, again, emanates in the ocean. So why not say, Erev Yom Tov, it was in the ocean, it acquired its makom shvisa there. Why don't you say that? To which the Gemara says, Limud lo k'Rabbi Eliezer, d'k'Rabbi Eliezer ha'amar, kala ulam kol mimeo kainos v'shol. So obviously, it doesn't reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that all the rainwater in the world comes from the Okainos, comes from the ocean. So Lamaisa, why not go ahead and say that the water does acquire a makom shvisa in the ocean? To which the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yitzchak, hacha ba'avim shenitz kashim erev yom tibaskinan. We're talking about rain clouds which were already gathered on Erev Yom Tov. Rain clouds already gathered on Erev Yom Tov. So what if I will say, what meaning what? The water was already dislodged from the ocean prior to Erev Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, "I v'dil mahanach azli v'hanach achrinu nino." I say, how do you know the same rain clouds that you saw on Erev Yom Tov are the same rain clouds that produce rain on Yom Tov? Maybe again, those initial rain clouds left, and new rain clouds came to islay siman of the gavayu, because you were able to identify the particular rain clouds. There was a simon; there was something distinct in those particular rain clouds. So you know for a fact that the same rain clouds that were there on Erev Yom Tov were the same rain clouds which produced rain on Yom Tov itself. Ibai Sema, Havi Safik de Devreim. Well, the other possibility is, we're dealing with the Safik de Rabbanon, the Safik de Devreim Lahakel. right? Ultimately, again, and whenever you have a din drabanan, a suffix in a suffix drabanan ultimately is resolved leniently. If there's a machlokes, if it's a suffix, it's the same rain cloud, not the same rain cloud. Did it acquire shvisa in the cloud? Not acquire shvisa in the cloud. We rule leniently, and therefore, when the rain falls on yomtiv, halacha lemaisa, when you take that rain, it acquires the tchum of the person who draws it or the person who takes it. I velikni shvisa ba'avim, but why not say that the water, that the rain acquires a makum shvisa? Both said not in the ocean, but rather where? In the clouds. Let it acquire makum shvisa in the clouds. The fact that we don't say that tells us that what? Tells us tivshot mine de'in tchumen lamala miyud. The yesh tchumen lamala likne shvisa ba'avim. But we had this machlokes 2 days ago, right? Is there tchum lamala miyud? Does the tchum exist above 10 tvachim? Well, apparently, it's clear from this gemara that the answer to that is no, because we'll say, if you're going to tell me now, we're talking about rainwater that gathered in the clouds already on Erev Yom Tiv, and you know for sure that it's those clouds. So therefore, again, it's Makom Shisa, it's not the ocean. Well, if it's Makom Shisa, it's not the ocean, then why don't you say it's Makom Shisa is the clouds, are the clouds. The fact that we don't advance that indicates to us what? That halacha l'maisa, there is no tchum l'malam yud, to which the Gemara says, so it could very well be that in reality, we would say normally, there is a tchum l'malam yud. What's happening over here? Umaya be'eva mivla bali'i. So we'll say, here's the difference. The difference is that rainwater in the clouds is absorbed. So because it's absorbed, it's as if, kiviyachol, it does not exist yet. So because it doesn't exist yet, it's impossible for it to acquire a makom shvisa. 1 second, top of menvav. The water in the clouds doesn't exist. That makes things worse. Kol shekein, dahavi luhu nolad. But say, if that's the case, that when it rains on Yom Tiv, you shouldn't be able to use the rainwater at all. That is called nolad. Something new that comes into existence on Yom Tiv. Beisa, shenolda bi Yom Tiv, is mukta. So now you're going to tell me that the rain doesn't, it's like kibyach, like the rain doesn't exist. That makes it worse, I will say, not better. To which the Gemara says as follows. Ella may ba'avim may not naidi. Rather, we'll say here's so. Just follow the progression. We're talking about a case where the rain clouds gathered on Erev Yom Tov already. Therefore, the water left the ocean, quote unquote, and therefore the makom shvisa is not the ocean. The water is gathered in the clouds already on Erev Yom Tov. If the water is gathered in the clouds, then why not say that the cloud is the makom shvisa? And therefore, we'll say again what that means is, therefore, the water kivyachol will have 2,000 amas from the clouds, which quite possibly means that by the time the water falls to the ground, you can't take it anywhere, right? The most you could take it is how much? Dalaramas. Like anything or any person which leaves its tchum, all you have is dalaramas. So the Gemara says, you're right. But here's the issue. Water is not stationary inside of the clouds. But rather, again, the water in whatever condensed form it's in, moves around. So because water moves around, therefore what? It does not acquire a tchum. So we'll say, this is really quite interesting. The idea, the Gemara says, is in order to acquire makom shvisa, in order to acquire makom shvisa, right, a domicile, what do you need? You need to be stationary. So even if you want to say that the tchum does apply lamala miyud, it's not going to work by water in the clouds because water in the clouds is moving. It's meinad nayid. So because of that, it never truly acquires a makom shvisa. Hashta da asis lahachi, says the Gemara, now that you came to this. So, ba'okainos nami lo likshulacha. Maya ba'okainos nami meyad naidi. So we'll say, inachinami, if that's the case, then even if you want to go back and say that the makom shvisa of the water should be in the ocean, it still doesn't acquire tchum. Why? Because water in the ocean is moving as well. So we'll say, the Gemara is introducing us here to an incredibly fascinating idea, which is that in order to acquire a makom shvisa, in order to acquire a domicile, and thereby also acquire a tchum, you must be stationary. If you're moving, which makes sense, if you're moving, the makom shvisa cannot be acquired. To which the Gemara of Tanya we learned, Naros HaMoshkin U'Ma'ayonos HaNovin Harin Karagli Kol Adam. So we'll say, we've actually learned this concept before. Flowing rivers, flowing well springs, I will say, do not acquire a makom shvisa on their own. Rather, again, they acquire the tchum of whoever draws them, right? Why don't they acquire a tchum or a makom shvisa on their own? Again, very simply, because they're moving. Because they're moving. So it says the Gemara, Amrab Yaakov bar Idi, Amrab Yoshua ben Levi. Halacha, Krabi Yochanan ben Nuri. Shabbos say, Paskin, the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Namely, Rabbi Yosai, that even a sleeping person has the ability to acquire a makom shvisa, right? If he's sleeping at the onset of Shabbos, his makom shvisa is wherever he is sleeping, and he acquires 2,000 amas in every direction. Furthermore, based on that, cheftei hefker kona shvisa. It's really the same concept. That ownerless objects acquire makom shvisa as well. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yosai, this is Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Sinai Rabbi Shul ben Levi, Halacha was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Amar li Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi. So Rabbi Zira said to Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Beferu Shmilecha, O Mechlala Shmilecha. Tell me, did you hear this explicitly, or are you inferring this? In other words, did you hear explicitly that the Halacha was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, or did something happen that you're inferring this from? Amar li, Beferu Shmilecha. He said, no, I heard it explicitly, that the Halacha was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Says the Gemara, by the way, my Klala, in general, what would have been the inference through which, or what would have been the episode of the statement through which you could have inferred or learned that the halacha was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Levi, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erev. Oh, because once there's another statement of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi who says that in general, the halacha is like the one who is lenient with regards to erev. So Rabbi says, so that's, remember again, who's more mekel in this machlokes? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So that also tells me that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. She says, "V'tarti lamli." She will say, "If that's the case, why do I need both statements? Why do I need a statement that says the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri?" Rabbi Yosef, remember again, in the machlokes, the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the mekel. According to the Rabbanon, if you are asleep at the onset of Shabbos, you do not acquire a makom shvisa, and therefore do not acquire a tchum. All you have is Dalet Amos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, even ownerless objects, and by extension, sleeping people, have the ability to acquire a makom shvisa and a tchum. So now Rabbi says, so now we said Allah follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and now we have another Rabbi Shua ben Levi that Allah follows the lenient opinion in Erev. But why do I need both of those statements? It's the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the lenient opinion when it comes to Erev. So why the need to say both things? V'tarti lamali. On Rabbi Zir Tzicha, I'll tell you, you need both. I'll tell you why. The Asher in Halach Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because if the Gemara would have just said Halach Havaz Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Hava Amina, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. So Rabbi said, this is very important. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's statement of Cheftzei Hefker Kol Nushisa, that a sleeping person acquires a Makom Shisa and a Tchum, has astringency. Well, it's very interesting. What's the stringency? What's the Chumra? The Chumra is by utensils. Because what's the thing about this is just Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, so again, the kula is that even a sleeping person acquires the makom shvisa, and by extension, the tchum. The chumra is that what? The chumra is that an ownerless utensil acquires a makom shvisa and its own tchum. They will say, now why is that a chumra? Because if I come along on Shabbos and I find that ownerless object and I take it, I am now bound by the tchum of that object, as opposed to that object acquiring my tchum. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's statement, which produces a kula in the case of a sleeping person, actually produces a chumra in the case of ownerless objects. So therefore, Rabbi said, when the Gemara, when Rabbi Shua ben Levi comes along and says that the halacha follows the lenient opinion by Erev, that's necessary, because Rabbi said, what it'll tell us is, we'll pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the case of a sleeping person, because that's the kula, that's the leniency. But we will not paskin like him in the case of an ownerless object, for that creates a chumra. So if that's the case, why not just make the statement that the halacha always follows the person who's lenient in the laws of Erev? Why do you have to say it all that Allah halas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? It's yachid b'makom yachid v'rabim makom rabim. Because I would say, I would have thought as follows. When does the halacha follow the lenient opinion in the halachos of Erev? That's if it's a machlokes one against one or many against many. Aval yochid b'makom rabim imalo. I will say, if it's a machlokes of one person against many, right, I would have thought that maybe the halacha does not follow the lenient opinion. Therefore, we'll say, what does the Gemara do? Therefore, the Gemara says, Allah chavaz Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Even though what? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is arguing against two, is arguing against the Rabbanan. So therefore, we'll say, the Gemara goes ahead and introduces really two concepts here. Number one, that the Allah chavaz Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, namely that a sleeping person does acquire a tchum. And number two, that in general, the halacha follows the lenient opinion by a rabbin. Now, say, before we go on, because we're already about to get into a fascinating sugya, so just to close out the halacha with Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and the Rabbanan, so the Shulchan Aruch brings down in Siman Taf Aleph this very idea. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, he says, Mi sheyashin baderech v'chashchalo kana shvisa bimkomo, so ultimately, again, so it says over here that if a person is sleeping, they acquire makom shvisa. Rabbi say, when do you acquire makom shvisa without intent? Only if you're sleeping. But the Shulchan Aruch goes on, he says, the hoyel vim haya neyer, hayakone, yashinamikone. And what's the logic? The logic is, since if I was awake, I could acquire makom shvisa. Therefore, if I'm asleep, I could also acquire makom shvisa. However, aval chefze hefker einam konim shvisa, them kiragli hazocha b'hem tchila shachal olichan l'makom sheyachol. So we'll say, therefore, again, we see literally what the Gemara just said is ta'alacha l'maisa. Ta'alacha falls Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, ultimately, again, in the case of a sleeping person. So we'll say, we paskin halacha l'maisa, that a sleeping person acquires a makom shvisa, and therefore 2,000 amos. But we also paskin halacha k'divrei hamekel be'eruv, and therefore, ownerless objects, chefze hefker, do not acquire their own makom shvisa. Instead, they acquire the tchum of the person who takes them. So really, really incredible halacha. I mean, there's more in here. You look at this on your own. Siman Taf Aleph and Arachayim. So it says the Gemara, I don't understand. Why are you even getting into this whole discussion about halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv? Why not just say as follows? Amrei Rava l'abayi michtei, eruv inti rabbanon. So we'll say, let's take a step back for just a moment. The Gemara says something very interesting. The reason we needed to say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, and it wasn't enough just to say that the halacha follows a lenient opinion by Eruv, was because if the Gemara would have just said that the halacha follows a lenient opinion by Eruv, I would have said, when is that so? When it's a machlokis, one against one, or many against many. Then I would say the halacha follows a lenient opinion. But if it's a machlokis of one against many, I would have thought that the halacha does not automatically go ahead and follow the lenient opinion. Therefore, the Gemara had to say, Ta'alacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is a yachid, is an individual, who is arguing against the rabbim, the many. Says the Gemara, really? The Gemara says, I don't understand, Eruvin is the Rabbanan. So we'll say, anytime you have a machlokes, we should employ the concept of what? Of what? Safek dirabbanan lekula. Mali yachid b'makom yachid, mali yachid b'makom rabbim. I don't understand. We'll say, again, there's a simple process. So whenever you have a din d'rabbanon, and there's a safek about the halacha is, safek d'rabbanon l'kula. And it doesn't make a difference who's on either side of the machlokes. Amar the Rapapa l'Rava, u'd'rabbanon lo shani l'mein, bein yachid b'makom yachid, li'yachid b'makom rabbim. Is that true? Is that true? That in any machlokes d'rabbanon, we don't look to see where the majority opinion is. V'hatran, we learned. Rabbi Eliezer Omer called Isha Sha'avar Lav Shalosh Onos. Daisha, we'll say back to our Nida days, the end of the last cycle. So we'll say, Siddhima over here talks about the concept that if a woman skipped three periods, right, she went three Onos, right, she skipped three periods, three cycles of her Nidos, and she did not bleed, and then she sees blood. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer says, Daisha Shaita. Most remember, this is the first machlokes in Meseches Nida, that when a woman sees blood, could we assume that the blood just appeared now? Or do we somehow have to back up this blood to some previous period of time? In other words, do we say, just because you discovered it here now, that doesn't mean it just came now, but pashtus, it was here earlier. So that's the machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer says that if a woman skipped three periods, so most remember again, once she skips three periods, according to Eliezer, she has a cheskas misulakes damim. She has a chazaka that she does not bleed. Therefore, when she does bleed, we assume that the blood came now, and we don't back it up at all. Daya shaita. Now, both say, now remember, the chachamim disagree with this. The chachamim disagree, and they say the only time that missing three periods tells you that she has a cheskas misulakes damim is when she's zikena. really, again, for lack of a better term, menopausal or premenopausal. That's when you could say she's no longer. But a regular woman, you don't say daishaita. Instead, by a regular woman, halacha lamaisa, you will back up the appearance of blood. If you see blood now, we do back that up and assume that blood was present some earlier time. So we'll say, so watch this. Machlokes over there's in the Rabbanon. And what happened? V'tanya, maisa va'asa k'rebi, k'rebi Eliezer. One time this happened, Rabbi Osei, and Rabbi Paskin, like Rabbi Eliezer, la'achar sheniskar, after he remembered, we'll see what that means, Amar kidaihu Rabbi Eliezer lismoch ala b'shas adchak. He said, okay, at least Rabbi Eliezer, you could rely on him in under extenuating circumstances. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? My la'achar sheniskar, so what does it mean after he remembered? What does it mean after Rabbi remembered? Ilema la'achar sheniskar de'in halacha k'rabi Eliezer. Elo kirabanan. Say if you want to say it was after Rabbi remembered that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Eliezer, but rather it follows the Rabbanan, that we do not say dayer shaita even after a woman skipped three periods. So b'shas adchak heki avid kavase. So I will say, remember Rashi points out over here the shas adchak was a time of famine. It was a time of famine, and the woman in question had touched certain consecrated items. You know, truma, meiser. So the problem is, if a woman is a nida, touches, let's say, truma, it can invalidate the truma. Well, in a time of famine, you don't want to invalidate, or people who eat chulin betara even, you don't want to invalidate anything. So it sounds like what it's saying is, after Rebbe remembered, so Rebbe passed like Rebbe Elazar, daya shaita, therefore again, the food was not problematic. The woman was not metame the food. And after Rebbe remembered, he said, oh, at least you could lie on Rebbe Eliezer and Shas Adchak in times of famine. So Gemara says, what does that mean, he remembered? If it's that he remembered that the halacha is not like Rebbe Eliezer, but the Rabbanon, then even if it's a Shas Adchak, how can you rely on Rebbe Eliezer? Rather, I will say, it must have been that this is a case where the halacha was not decided decisively. And therefore what? The Gemara says, "Lo krebel zol krabanon la'achar sheniskar delav yochid poligale el rabin pligiale." So we'll say, so what happens? So really, there's no decisive halacha, but this is a case of one versus the many. So really, so Rabbi passed like Rabbi Eliezer, but then he remembered, you know, really you should pass like the Rabbanon because this is not the one versus one. This is a one versus the many. And then he said, "Amrhu amr kidai Rabbi Eliezer lismoch alav b'shas adchak." So we'll say, ex post facto, he said, fine, but you see from here that what? You see from here that even though Rabbo said this is a din d'rabbanon, we do look at who is on each side of the machlokes. And we do give weight to the majority opinion against a minority opinion. So we'll say, once again, really, are you suggesting that halacha lemaisa? Halacha lemaisa that we don't look at who's on each side of a machlokes in a din d'rabbanan, that it doesn't make a difference if there's a majority on one side. V'atanya, we learned shmua krov no hege shiva u'shloshen. So we'll say ilchos avelos. Shmua krov rabose means we'll see in just a moment. If a person hears, we'll call it recent news of the passing of a loved one, of whom they're obligated to mourn, they sit a full shiva and shloshim. Rechoka, but a shmo rechoka, which means distant information. We'll see what it means in just a moment. Inon haggis el yom echad. The Rebbe will say, if you hear of the death after a certain amount of time, all you do is observe one day of shiva, and that's it. So Rabbi Akiva says, a shmua krova means hearing about the death of a close relative for whom you are obligated to mourn within 30 days. So if you're within 30 days, you sit shiva and shloshim. After 30 days, all you have is what? One day of shiva. Rabbi says, actually, the halacha is it's not even one day. It's one part of a day of shiva. Chacham the Chacham say, achas shmua krova, achas shmua rechoka, no heges shiva shosha. Rabbi says, the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Akiva. They say, no, whether you're here within 30 days, after 30 days, when you hear about the death of a loved one for whom you are obligated to mourn, you must sit a full shiva and shloshim. What's this in this? Rabbi Rachana says, in general, whenever you find the machlokes in an individual and we'll call it the rabbin and a greater number of people, And the Rabbim are Machmir, the Yachid is Mekel. The Halacha always follows the Rabbim. Chutz Mizu, with the exception of Avelos, Sha'af Apish Rabbi Akiva Mekel, Chacham Machmir, because even Rabbi Akiva is a lone opinion, he's Mekel. The Chachamim are Machmir, Halacha Kediv Rabbi Akiva. The Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. For several like Yishmol, Damer Shmuel, Halacha Kediv Rabbi Mekel Be'evil. Because we'll say in general, there's a principle that the Halacha always follows the lenient opinion in Hilchos Avelos. I says the Gemara Ba'Avelos Huda Akiva Rabbanu. So you see from here, we'll say, but this is not true in all matters of rabbinic law. We don't always go ahead and follow the lenient opinion, even if the majority is Machmer. It's only in Avelos where we are always Mekel. Aval ba'ama filo b'drabanan, shani ben yachid, b'makam yachid, ben yachim makam rabim. But we'll say, we've seen other areas of rabbinic law, we don't automatically say that if there's a machlokis, you side with the lenient opinion, but rather we look at who is on both sides of the argument. And in Achinami, if there's a majority on one side, and a minority on the other side, even if the majority is machmir, and the minority is Mekel by din drabanan, we'll side with the majority. Amud beis, v'rav papa amar, Rav Papa says, Rav says, so we're going back to just a moment. Going back now to our original discussion. Remember how we got into this whole thing. We're trying to figure out, why does the Gemara have to say both? The Halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, and the Halacha follows the lenient opinion by Eruv. Comes Rav Papa and he says, Itzrich sakadait chamina hani mili be'eruv echatseros. Oh, because Rav says, I would have thought that when the Gemara says that the Halacha follows the lenient opinion by Eruv, I would have thought, which Eruv is that referring to? That Erev Chatzeros. Aval be'erev Tchumin emolo. But what's about Erev Tchumin? Ultimately, again, I would have thought that maybe we are Machmir. Therefore, Tzricha. Therefore, I need both statements. I need the Halacha Kedivre HaMekel be'erev, which again, at least at first glance, teaches me that you could be Mekel when it comes to laws of Erev Chatzeros. And Halacha Krab Yochanan ben Nuri, that tells that I could be Mekel by Erev Tchumin as well. I uminot tamer the shanilan bein eruv v'chatzeros eruv tchumin. We'll say, now why would you think that you can make a distinction between eruv chatzeros? We'll say eruv is eruv is eruv. We generally group these things together. Why would you think that you would be mekel by eruv chatzeros and machmir by eruv tchumin? This is not am Rabbi Yehuda ben Darmur and beeruv tchumin. Aval beeruv v'chatzeros ma'arvin bein ladas bein sholadas. So we'll say, I'll tell you why. Rabbi Yehuda says that when is it that you need das? Here, boss, remember again, the machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and Rabbanon is whether or not you need das in order to go ahead and create a makum shvisa to establish eruv tchumen. That I was saying, now the truth is, even Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, who says that a sleeping person acquires a makum shvisa, and even when he's asleep, I will say, even Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri holds that. Why does that work? Because since if he were to be awake, he could do it, we let him do it while he's asleep as well. Sivan Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri requires some level of das, it's just a different kind of das. But yet, by Erev Chatzeros Rabosai, you can make an Erev Chatzeros on someone's behalf, even without their das. How so? So the Gemara says, Erev Chatzeros ma'avim ba'bein das, ben shalom das. Why? Shezachin la'adam shalom b'fanov, ben chabin la'adam ela b'fanov. Rabosai, listen to this. So let's say, imagine all of us are living in one chatzer. All of us living in one chatzer. So I'm trying to find Reuven on Erev Shabbos, I can't find him. I could go ahead and be his self-appointed agent to go ahead and create his buy-in into the Erev Chatzeros. Why? Because there's a concept of Zachin la'adam shalom b'fanov, which means you can do something objectively beneficial for someone without their knowledge. You can't do something detrimental without their knowledge. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Erev Chatzeros is considered to be objectively beneficial. Erev Tchumen Avosa is not objectively beneficial. Why not? Because what I said is incredible. Because remember, when you establish Makom Shvisa, what does that do? That gives you 2,000 amos in certain directions, but it precludes you from having 2,000 amos in different directions, and therefore, or different places. Therefore, Halacha L'maisa, I can't establish an Erev Tchumen on behalf of someone else without their knowledge. Let me clarify that. I can be a Shaliach for someone, but I can't do it without their knowledge. So therefore, again, I would say, I would have thought, therefore, if it would have just said, I would have thought that applies to Erev Chatzeros, not to Erev Tchumen. Therefore, they want to also say, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, to show us that we are Mekel at some times with Erev Tchumen as well. Rav Ashi says, I need both statements. Why? Itzrik Sakadait Chamina, Hani Mili Bishiure Erev. I would have thought that when do we say that you're Mekel with Erev? That's ultimately, again, with the leftovers of the Erev. But perhaps at the beginning of the Eruv, we are Machmir. I will say now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Bishi Yura Eruv, almost right across. Sheniach Erev b'makom ha-mishtamer l'kama shavas. So we'll say, I set up an Erev Tchumen, and I placed my Erev food in a particular guarded place for a number of Shabbosos. And what happens? V'nismait ha-ochel mishir b'yisudas mekilim balach shirbos. It's halacha. That if you set up food for Erev Tchumen, and at some really supposed to have enough food for two meals. So we'll say, so let's say again, over time, the amount of food diminishes, the Erev is still kosher. So I would have thought, when do we say that the halacha is makel by Erev? That's when ultimately, again, the Erev is already in place, and you're talking about the future of the Erev. But for the initial establishment of the Erev, I would have thought that the halacha is that we're machmir. Therefore, the Gemara says, halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, to say, even in the initial establishment of the Erev, we're also makel. To which the Gemara says, Disnan, Am Rabbi Yossi, Madramur, and Betrilas Erev, Ava Bashira Erev Hilakosha. But say, when do you need a complete amount of food for two meals? That's only when you first establish the Erev. But once the Erev is established, even if the amount of food diminishes over time, Halacha Lamaisi, the Erev will still be kosher. Vado Amru La Erev Chatzeros, so I said, Vado Amru La Arif Chatzeros, Elekadesh Lo Shachech Toras Erev. Furthermore, the only reason you really have to even make a Erev Chatzeros at all is that halacha lemaisa, the concept of Erev should not be forgotten. Rashi points out, we'll say, the Iker of Hilchos Erevin is Erev Tchumen. That's the Iker of Hilchos Erevin. And in fact, Midaraisa, we know you don't need Erev Chatzeros. The only reason we have Erev Chatzeros is that people should never forget about the halachos of Erev Tchumen. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeka says, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zirka, Amru Halacha, Rabbi Akiva, Mechavero. So we'll say, so now what we've established is as follows. Now we've established is that, first of all, we don't always side with the lenient opinion by Dinei Derabbanan. I mean, we knew this beforehand. We don't always say that the Halacha automatically follows the Mekel opinion. By Avelus, we do always say that the Halacha follows the Mekel opinion, but that doesn't necessarily apply in other Dinei Derabbanan. Now I also understand about, say, because he said the Shulchan Aruch, I understand why the Halacha must both say that number one, the halacha follows kedivrei hamekel be'eruv, because Rabbi say again, what that tells me is that let's say chefsei hefker are not konin shvisa, but the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, namely that what? That halacha lemaisa, a sleeping person does acquire makom shvisa. Rabbi say, so now the Gemara is going to quote another interesting couple of principles regarding all of this, which is really quite interesting. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zeker, Amru, halacha Rabbi Akiva mechaviro. Rabbi say, whenever there's machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and another opinion, the halacha always follows Rabbi Akiva. Uk Rabbi Yossi mechavirav. And when Rabbi Yossi, even if he's arguing against a larger group of people, the halacha always follows Rabbi Yossi. Uk Rabbi mechavirav. And whenever Rabbi is arguing against another rabbinic opinion, the halacha always follows Rabbi. So, Marcel, my halacha, what exactly is the meaning of these rules? Rabbi Asi Amr Halacha, Rabbi Asi says that literally, whenever you see a machlokes, and we'll say you can always apply these principles. So if you see a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and someone else, nope, you could pass in publicly, that the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, so on and so forth. Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amr Matin. But say Matin means that how do we apply these principles? Not that we definitively, publicly paskin in accordance with these principles, but rather Matin Abba say means that we shift the halacha towards these particular principles, meaning we will not necessarily make a declaration in public, but halacha lemaisa, ultimately, again, we will go ahead and shift, tilt the din in this way. In other words, we could instruct individuals to go ahead and pass in accordance with these principles, but won't necessarily go ahead and announce them in public. Rabbi Yosef Yechanina Amar Nirin. Rabbi Yosef Yechanina says, the truth is we won't announce it publicly. We don't even instruct people to do this privately. But if somebody acted in accordance with these principles, we'll say, okay, right, fine. Similar principles again. Whenever there's machlokes, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, the halacha was Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi. When there's machlokes, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, halacha was Rabbi Yossi. Then Tzarek Lomar, and it goes without saying, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi. That when there is a machlokes, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, the halacha was Rabbi Yossi. Hashta b'makom Rabbi Huda lesa b'makom Rabbi Yossi. Do you even have to say that? If in a case, if in a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, we don't paskin like him. Of course, in a case Rabbi Yossi, we won't paskin like him. Amravasi af ani lomed Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon alach Rabbi Yossi. When it's machlokes Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon, we paskin Rabbi Yossi. The Amr Rabbi Abba Amr Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Then when there's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon alach was Rabbi Yehuda. Hashto makom Rabbi Yehuda lessa. I will say if we don't paskin like him in a situation Rabbi Yehuda machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi makom Rabbi Yossi mi bai. Then I will say certainly in the case of Rabbi Yossi, it's not a shaila as well. I ibai lahu Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon Mai. Both say what happens if halacha lemais says machlokes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon. What happens in those cases? Who does the machlok? Who does the halacha follow? To which the Gemara says teku. So both say so. Understand is this whole discussion over here? Can we create principles of machlokes? That's really what the shaila is. So both say can we create certain principles that whenever you see a machlokes between two people. We know that in certain situations, halacha will always follow this one. So I say, interestingly enough, that's also a machlokes. That's also a machlokes. So now again, can I say, Rosa, because think about this just a moment. If you could establish these type of principles, it makes the resolution of halacha much easier. Right? Much easier. If I always know that ultimately what? That whenever there's a machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and someone else, that the halacha always follows Rabbi Akiva, it just makes the discerning of halacha much easier. But even that we see that there's machlokes how to interpret those principles. Does it mean definitively that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva? Will instruct people but won't say publicly halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, or that no. We never say halacha is like Rabbi Akiva explicitly. If somebody paskin that way, we won't tell them that they have to redo anything. So we'll say, so that's the machlokes. All right, we'll stop over here. Will the Mirat Hashem pick up at the Ibai Lahu tomorrow? Shkach Abosei. Yeah, okay. Excuse me. The Amram Misharshia. Shkach Abosei.